Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding six lines from the top of the Amud. Zokti Mor Tana Rabbanan. Mor brings now a Braisa. Ovel Shabbos Rishoyne Eina Yoytzim Mipesach Beis Soy. This Braisa is going to tell us what an Ovel does for the first 4 weeks of his Avelus. And it tells us that the Shabbos Rishoyne, the first week, now the word Shabbos over here is machloikis horishoinim, whether it means Shabbos or it means Shavua. After all, we say Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. We don't mean seven Shabbosim like seven Saturdays. We mean 7 weeks. So therefore, the word Shabbos over here is susceptible to both translations. However, it's mashma from the Gemara in another few lines that we're talking about weeks, and we're not talking about just Shabbos, as you'll see. So, and over the first week, Eina Yoytzin Pesach Beisa, he should not leave his home. He should stay in the Beis HaOvel. Shnia, the second week, Yoytzei, he leaves the Beis HaOvel. Then Yoyshivim Koyme, when he gets to Shul, he doesn't sit in his regular, normal spot, but he should sit somewhere else. The Aleph of the Bach adds another couple of words that as well, the Einoi Medaber. He should try to stay to himself and not speak to all the people in Shul. Doesn't mean he can't say a word, but it means he should basically be on mute. He shouldn't go and walk around and give everybody greetings. Einoi Medaber. Shlish is the next week. Yoshev Mekoyim, he can already be restored to his regular place. The Einoi Medaber, but he continues not to communicate with the others. Revi is the fourth week. Ariko Cholodam, then he becomes reinstated as a regular, normal member of society. He can sit in his regular place, he can talk to whoever he wants to, because his Avelis is, Baruch Hashem, coming at an end, because it's the end of the first month. As we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda agrees in principle to the Tanakam. The only thing that Rabbi Yehuda does is he shifts everything 1 week. As we'll see. Said Rabbi Yehuda, how did the Tanakhama start off? That the first week, any Yoytze, he stays at home. It's the second week that he's Yoytze v'eni Yoyshev and Koymai. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Tanakhama Shkoyach, I didn't need to tell you that the first week, Yoytze v'Pesach Beisai, of course, Sher HaKol Nechnosim l'Beisai l'Nachmoy. After all, that's what the Shiv is all about, that the Avelim don't leave Pesach Beisim, they stay home, and people come to go Menachem, to go and console them during that week. So of course he doesn't leave his home. In fact, we had in the Gemara a couple of days ago, that what happens if an Ovel wants to go and be Menachem Ovel, another Ovel in another house. We said the first 3 days he shouldn't go. Only on the fourth day he can go, and then he should sit together with the row of Avelim, not with the Menachem. But that's under extraordinary circumstances. Under normal circumstances, the Avel stays home and he doesn't budge. So of course, Shabbos Rishon L'Yetzim Pesach Beisai. Elo Shnia in the Yetzim Pesach Beisai. Even though Shiva is over, the second week he should also stay at home and not go out. Shlishes, he should be Yetzim, he can go out. Then Yoshimim Koyme, he goes to Shul. And he shouldn't go and sit in his regular spot. And again, the Bach adds, Ve'ena Medaber, he shouldn't go and speak to people. Revius, the next week, Yoshua Mekoyme, he can already return to his normal place, Ve'ena Medaber, but he should still stay isolated and not drift around and say hello to everyone. Chamishis, Hari Kacholodem, it's like everybody else. So as you see, Rabbi Yehuda has the exact same fact pattern, the same rules and regulations. All he does is he just moves it down the calendar 1 week. Because the first week of Shiv anyway, Vishtetzach, I don't need a Bryce, I don't need a Tana to tell us that he doesn't go out Mipesach Beisai. Of course he stays at home. Tana Rabban, Kol Shloishim Yom L'Nisuin. What happens if a person was Ba'avelus, he never lost a family member, and he wants to get married? Whether or not it was scheduled before, or he decided to get married now, is really irrelevant. The point is he wants to get married, says the Tana Kama. Don't get married until after Shloishim. After all, Shloishim happens to be a period of sadness, of pain after the person who passed away. If you're going to go and get married immediately, it looks almost as if, you know, okay, you forgot about the nifter and you move on. At least wait for 30 days to get married. But that's when you happen to be sitting Shiva after stam a person. In other words, stam a relative. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, the person that passed away was Mesa Ishta, his wife never passed away. Oh, and also Lisa Isha Cheres at Shiabr Olav Shloish Regalim. He should wait. He should not get married immediately, and not after 30 days. He should wait until after 3 Regalim. Reb Yehuda Oimer, Regal Rishon V'Sheni Oser. Yes, I agree with you. Leave a period of time, but we're talking about 2 Regalim. Shlishi Mutter, but by the time you get to the third, that's already Mutter. So Reb Yehuda and the Tanakama agree in principle that you got to wait a while. However, the question is, how long is that while? Tanakama says 3 regalim. The Yehuda says only 2 regalim. What's the reason why you have to wait so long? So the second Tosis from the top says, Achiyah shloish regalim, Achiyah shloish regalim, beloy simcha, v'leyishkach ahavas ishtoi. This is a very, if you will, very sentimental, very touching comment of Tosis, that we want that the person should remember the wonderful days, the ahava that he had with his wife, and as a result, we want him to have to experience 3 Yom Tovim without his wife, and he should go and give a krechts and say, every Yom Tov until now I had the pleasure of having together with me my wonderful, lovely wife, my Yenta, my Sprinza, my Genendel, and now 3 Regalim have passed Nebuch without her. So it should really make an imprint on his heart how much he is missing, especially Jimei Simcha, during the week when you're rushing back and forth to do whatever, whether it's business or other things that people occupy themselves with. They don't really think so much about these things. When it comes to Yom Tov, then you have a chance to rest and relax, then you start thinking, oh, I remember the good old days when my wife was still around. Inami kedei sheyisa ish acheres v'leyei zocher min harishoina shliyei beis deyos b'mita. What Tosis is telling us is, this is really another Gemara, I believe, in Nida, that when a person goes and lives with his wife, he should not have in mind, chas v'shalom, any other woman. In particular, if this is a zivik sheini, and now he's marrying a second wife, he shouldn't go and think about his first wife, especially at the time of marital relations. And therefore, we want there to be a period of, if you will, shikcha, he should start forgetting. So the second reason of Tosis is almost the reverse of the first reason of Tosis. The first reason of Tosis is we wait 3 regalim so that that wonderful, lovely wife that he had, that should remain in his conscience, should remain in his heart for a long period of time. He shouldn't just, okay, that's history, we move on. He should think about it. Second shot of Tosis is, we want there to be a period of forgetfulness, so when he remarries, he shouldn't constantly think about his first wife, especially when they're having relations. Anyway, that's the reason why you wait either 3 regalim or 2 regalim. Now this is talking about a situation, as we'll see in a moment, dafka when the person already has a family. Maybe in fact he's even married off a few of his kids. However, what happens if this person doesn't have children, or at least he was not Mekayim yet the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, Mutalisa li alter Misham Pitl Piri Verivya. After all, it's a mitzvah incumbent on all men to have children, and therefore, if he was not Mekayim the mitzvah yet, he can get married immediately. Immediately doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom right after the day of the Petira. He can do it after Shiva. He doesn't even have to wait for Shloish. Similarly, what happens if his wife passed away and she left over young children, Rachmanu Litzlan? Who's going to go and take care of these kids? After all, it's not a father's job to go and deal with all the intricacies of the children. It's hard for the father who has to go and support the family. He has to go out to work. At the same time, he has to worry about diapering all of them, and what happens if there's a baby, who's going to nurse the baby, and so on and so forth. These are all difficult issues for a man. So he wants to go marry a woman to take care of the kids. Again, he's allowed to go marry immediately. Presumably means after Shiva. But ne parnasosin. Here the word parnasosin is not like Lushan parnasa that you make money. Parnasosin means to go and support the little kindlech, to be able to go and give them to eat and to go and wash their clothing and to take care of the diapering and all the things that young mothers do for their youngsters. And the Gemara, in fact, tells us a story. Maase shemeise ishtei shel Yosef HaKoyin. The Mrs. Yosef HaKoyin never passed away. And the omer la'achoyis in the Beis HaKvaris, in the Beis HaChayim, after burying his wife, he said to his sister-in-law, in other words, his wife's sister, when two sisters are both alive, a man is not allowed to go and marry both of them, because the pasuk says, "Isha la'achoyis le'isikach." Litzror, legalis, and vasa aleha, lechayeha. Only when both of them are alive. However, if chas v'shalom, a person was married to a wife who passed away, and she left over a sister, you are allowed to go and marry that sister-in-law. Says the Gemara, said Yosef according to the sister-in-law, the Beis HaKvaris, lechi ufarnasi es b'nei achisich. Do me a favor, please. I can't do this. Especially, I'm going to be sitting Shiva now Nebuch for the rest of the week after your sister. Please go and take care of the kindle. And apparently, he had his eye on her for marriage. However, they didn't do anything for a long period of time. So, therefore, what it's mashma from our Gemara is that perhaps already during Shiva or after Shiva, he perhaps already did Eirusin, because he saw that this, obviously he knew her from before, it was his sister-in-law, she was probably a frequent flyer in their home, and therefore he said, she would make a wonderful substitute replacement for my wife that never passed away. So even though normally he's supposed to go away to 3 regalim or 2 regalim, and over here there's not a problem of peri-birivya, Baruch Hashem, he has peri-birivya, he already has children, however the problem is who's going to take care of those children. Says this Braisa, he can go and marry Li'alter because of their Parnasa. Yosef HaKoyin says, I'm not going to marry Li'alter. But what he did was, he made either an Eirusin, or at least he made some sort of agreement with her, please take care of the kids. Then after that, they got married with Nisuin after 30 days were over after Shlesha.
Mishal Alter,
yeah.
Havchana,
yeah.
If it's 3 months, you should wait.
If he passes away and then she wants to remarry, she has to go and wait 3 chadoshim because of the fact that she may have been impregnated right before the husband passed away.
We had earlier in the Masechta, I don't remember where, but I'm sure you do, when somebody did remarry very quickly.
Yeah.
Was it a similar case like this? You signaled to me to wait to hold my question.
Yeah, you did very well. Thank you for holding. Let's go back to the Gemara that you're referring to. Not that far back.
Yeah. The altar means a long time?
Immediately.
The altar means immediately. So I said, probably doesn't mean during Shiva, it means after Shiva. Yeah, okay, so if you go back to Chof Aleph Amid Beis, where there the Gemara talks about, on that Amid, if you look, about two-thirds down, halfway down the Amid, it says,
Yes.
Okay, now skip 3 lines. Meisa ishtoi, v'nasa isha acheres. His wife died. He married somebody else. In a show, they come for meisa ledaber imay tanchumen. Then somebody else shouldn't come to their home, knock on the door, and say, "Oi, Yankel Smith, I've been meaning to come to you now for the last few days. I didn't have a chance. I heard Baruch Hashem you got remarried, but your first wife passed away. I want to give you tanchumen and to console you. She was such a wonderful lady. That Yenta was so special. She was ahead of Bika Choylam, and she was ahead of Chevra Kadisha for the ladies, and she was ahead of the ladies' auxiliary, and she was a Balas Chesed and a tremendous." The new wife who's in the kitchen, she hears all of this, she's very upset. Let's not extol all the virtues of the first wife. We're now, that's history, we're now remarried. So now it's mashma that you can go and get married immediately. Not after 3 regalim or 2 regalim. So on that is a Rashi. The Rashi says at the top of the Amud, Venasi Isha, about 10 lines from the top.
Yeah, Venasi
Isha. Just like we have Taka, what we just
heard.
That's the reason why we were able to go and get married. But there's that somebody being Menach. Because you're not supposed to be Menach after 30 days, Bechlal, except for over the Imay. After 30 days, you close the book and you move on. Here the Gemara says, how is someone coming and being Menachem B'toy Shloshim Yoyim, and he had already remarried B'toy Shloshim Yoyim, because so much Inlay Banim, Kidol Kamon, that we said, if you don't have Banim, you can get married almost immediately. So,
there's another story, actually, someone who did marry, and
he did marry, this is that case, he wasn't married. Zog Gemara Vayter, Tanu Rabbanon, and we're now 5 lines from the bottom of the Yom. Kol shloishim yoyim legihutz. Gihutz means pressing. Pressing means that you go to the dry cleaners, and then they send you back your outfit. Hopefully it's clean, and it's very, very nicely pressed. So gihutz means pressing. And what this halacha is similar to the halacha that we have nowadays, that during the 9 days you're not supposed to put on a beged that was not only freshly laundered, but also freshly pressed. Because when you put it on, it really looks very impressive. It comes to dry cleaners, it's nice, you'll be paid $250 for it or more. And therefore, the first 30 days after an ovel, chas v'shalom, loses the nifter, now he's within his shloishim, he should not wear freshly pressed clothing. Echad kelim chadashim, say if they're brand new kelim, in other words, a new suit, a new outfit for a woman, a new dress, or whatever, brand new. The echad kelim yishonim, even if it's an old set of clothing, it's an old suit, it's an old dress, an old outfit, whatever. However, that old outfit was yoitzin mitoich hamachbesh. What's a machbesh? A machbesh is what they used to use to go and press garments many, many years ago. Today, of course, if you want to go and press a pair of pants, you have a nice crease, you go and take an iron. In the good old days, they used to have something which had a fold in it. In other words, it was like our ironing boards that we have today. You put down the pants, or you put down whatever the outfit was, and then you had a second part which you were able to fold over, and even had some sort of latches to go and keep it nicely in place. If it was fancy schmancy, it was also heated, and that you left it inside that machbesh, inside that doubled over press for perhaps a day or whatever, and then you'd open it up, presto, it was nicely pressed, it looked wonderful. That is called a machbesh. And it could be that there is some sort of etymological similarity between the Hebrew word and between the German or Yiddish word, because as you know, there's a word in German and Yiddish to kvetch. And we don't mean a person who's a kvetch inside a shul or something. That
squeeze.
To squeeze, exactly, to kvetch. So here too, you squeeze the outfit in this machbesh so that it becomes nicely squeezed, and ultimately any wrinkles that you did not want hopefully will be removed by the pressing, and any new creases that you do want hopefully will be produced as a result of this press, as a result of the kvetch of the machbesh. So according to Tanna Kamma, this din applies both to brand new clothing as well as old clothing which has been nicely and freshly pressed. That's why the custom is in many places that before the 9 days, if a person has a whole bunch of, for instance, white shirts, all of them have been nicely laundered and nicely ironed, that you go and wear them at least for a few minutes before the 9 days begin, so that, and then you hang it up and you use it after that again, so that it doesn't come nicely pressed during the 9 days. Rabbi disagrees with Tanna Kamma and says, not kelim chadashim, add kelim yishonim, only kelim chadashim, but kelim yishonim you are allowed to wear during the shloshim, even if they're freshly pressed, as long as they're not brand new clothing. Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon Oimer, loy osru ela kelim chadashim, levonim bilvad. Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon is even more makel and says, not only didn't they aser kelim yishonim, they didn't even aser kelim chadashim unless they are white. If they were colored garments, a lot of people today wear blue shirts, for instance, not only white shirts. So therefore, I'm not referring to anybody in particular, I'm just looking around. So anybody that recommend the also wearing a blue shirt, a green shirt, and a white shirt, yeah, also say stuff. Anyway, so you see that you can have, you see that Yanya, you're on call because of the blue shirt.
Well, I know Joe Bertschleiser, I don't know if you know him. He lives here, but he's in Lakewood also. But he would bring his shirts to the cleaners
here to Manhattan.
No, in Lakewood, uh-huh. And they immediately would know him. So you're the one with the colored shirt.
Ah, I see. Okay, gotcha. So our Gemara tells us, according to Blazer Reb Shimon, the only isser is if you're wearing brand new and they're white, then you're not allowed to wear within Shloshim Yoyim. But if they happen to be old, even though they're freshly pressed, and even if they're new, but they're not white, they are blue or green or other colors, you can have it during Shloshim. And now the Gemara tells us, this is Halacha L'Maisa, Abaye Nofik Begarda V'Sarbala K'Revi. What is a garda V'Sarbala? So Rashi tells us about five lines before the end, Malbish Lovan Meguhatz Yoshan. He, Abaye, relied on Revi's Psak, that you are allowed to wear, even during Shloshim, freshly pressed white garments, as long as they're Yoshan, they're old. They're not brand new out of the store or from the tailor. You can go and wear those during Shloshim. Says Rashi, Karebi, Diomali, Asu, Lavan, Ella, Chodesh, the only Asur, brand new clothing. Going back to the Gemara, Rava, Nafik, Bechimutzta, Rumisa, Sumakta, Chadati. Rava even wore brand new clothing during Shloshim. However, it was not white, says Rashi. It was, well, the Gemara says, that it was Sumkisor, Sumakta. Sumak is red. And therefore, it's hard to believe that Rava wore a red garment. But
he says a tunic.
A tunic. Well,
that's a kova.
That's not.
A tunic is a coat, a shirt.
Yeah, and the me'il is usually defined. Ksoinus is usually defined as a tunic, which is like a toga of some sort. Anyway, so that's the chimutzta. Rumisa means it's Roman. So makta that it was red. Chadati, brand new. So it was a new red Roman tunic. He wore it during Shloshim. It was brand new. So presumably it came out of the plastic with all the 25 different pins and nails and stuff that you have there that to make it look all nice and pressed and beautiful. How can you do that? It's a new get. Also, Brother Reb Shimon. Brother Reb Shimon said that the only Isser of the Shloshim Yoyim is Kenem Chadoshim, which also happened to be white, since this was red. So this halacha doesn't apply.
And surprisingly, because I think we learned elsewhere, you're not supposed to wear red. A man shouldn't wear red clothing.
A
woman's not supposed to wear. A man, I think, is okay. The woman, I think, is because it could be seductive and things like that. But I don't think it's a problem for that.
But there should be a new style now.
You never know.
For the daf.
Menesha Amro, Shabbos, Oyle Veinu Mafsekes. Okay, so back in the Mishnah, we learned that Shabbos is Oyle Veinu Mafsekes. This is something which is well known to all of us, that if Chas HaShalom, someone is sitting Shiva, so then Shiva means, of course, 7 days. It's not a full 7 days, but it's the Yom Kekulai, so 6 days plus. Every Shiva always somehow goes over a Shabbos. In the middle, in the beginning, at the end, Shabbos, after all, it's 7 days. So now, what do you do with that 7 days? Shabbos is Oyla, it's counted towards the Shiva, Veinim Afsekes, and it doesn't stop the Shiva. In other words, Shiva continues during the Shabbos. So based on this terminology, the Gemara says, B'nei Yehuda, B'nei Galila, had a machlekes. Hani Amri, they said, we don't know who's the day, they said, Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos. Avelis B'Shabbos does apply. V'hani Amri ain't Avelis B'Shabbos. Avelis B'Shabbos does not apply. Man di Amri Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos Diktani Ola. It says that Shabbos is one of the 7 days. Sounds like it's just like Friday and just like Sunday. It's part of the 7 days. It's Ola. Man di Amri ain't Avelis B'Shabbos Diktani Ain't a mafsekes. Since it says that Shabbos is not mafsek, what means that it's not mafsek? It doesn't cut it off. For instance, by Yontif, the Mishnah continues on, it says that Yontif is mafsek. The Mishnah makes a difference with this. 3 days before, not 3 days before. And the Gemara said, no, even if it was just a few minutes before. But the point is, by Yontif it's stuck in mafsek, and it cuts off the Avelis, it cuts down the Shiva. Masha Enkein, the Gabi Shabbos, it's not Mafsik, and Shiva continues. So therefore, Mandi Omer, in Avelis B'Shabbos, Diktoni, in Mafsikis, it doesn't stop, it doesn't cut off. Isol Gadaitach, Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos, if you're going to tell me that Avelis continues on Shabbos, just like the other days of the week, Hashda Avelis Noaga, Afsuke Miboya, why would the Mishnah even have to go and tell you that it's not Mafsik? Shabbos, Avelis is on a roll, it just continues on. Of course it's not mafsik. Elamai was muzain. It has to be that in fact, ein avelis b'shabbos, when it's not noheg. So I would think, if it's not noheg, maybe it cuts it short, just like yontif. Kamash v'lo, no, ein mafsekes. It is ola, but not mafsekes. It doesn't stop, cut it short. But ein avelis b'shabbos, when it's not noheg, any din avelis b'shabbos. I the hawk Tony Ola, but doesn't it say that Shabbos is Ola among the 7 days? And if you're telling me Ein Avelis B'Shabbos, so as well as telling me that it's not Mafsik, of course if it's not a Mafsik, that means that it's Ola. Ein Mafsik means that it doesn't stop. It continues on. If it continues on, then it's Ola, it's one of the 7 days. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? Since when it comes to Yontif, we said that those days are not included. Of course, Yontif cuts short. Why do you have to say
Ein Oyl? Of course, Ein
Oyl. Exactly. It's talking about a case of Chas V'Shalom. The Nifter passed away on Yontif, like the first day of Yontif or the first day of Chol HaMoed or something. So, Kedai Techamina, okay, whether or not I am sitting Shiva during the person, the Oval, is sitting Shiva during the Yontif period, but I might have thought that it should be Ola just like Shabbos is Ola and get a break, get a discount or a credit. Kamashul, no. You still have the Shiva after Yom Tov is over. I think Ralocha, you do get the benefit of one day credit if Chas V'Shalom, a person passes away during Yom Tov, but it was only Shvissin Defin. If something like that comes up, we'll ask a competent Orthodox rabbi. But anyway, so because of that, it says, in Oilen, we want to be parallel in the style of the Mishnah. So we say here, Oilen, and Oilen. The son of Reisha Oilen. What about according to Mandi Omar that says that one is knowing Avelis B'Shabbos? Why does the Mishnah use now, why does it say Einam Afsekes? Excuse me. Of course Einam Afsekes. If you're knowing Avelis B'Shabbos, that means it's continuing on. It's not Mafsek, it's not like Yom Tov. Says Yomar the same thing again. Since by Yom Tov it does say Mafsekin, so that's why it says B'Shabbos by contrast. Now before we continue on, the whole Gemara on the surface sounds a little bit strange. Do I know of anybody that ever sits down on the ground Shabbos? Avelus? Is there a din of Nidus Asamvel? Is there a din of all the other Isurim that apply to Avelus? Shabbos? Ain't available Shabbos. Doesn't everybody know that? So you can tell me, okay, that our Gemara is a Machloikis. We're talking about after the Machloikis has been resolved, that ain't available as Bishabbos. However, as we'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, and as Toysis pointed out immediately at the top, the Gemara never had a suffix that Shabbos is a dinner of your normal standard of eggs. About the people don't sit Shiva on the floor, and people don't have an Isser Nila Sasandu, and people do go to Shul on Shabbos, etc., as we are all familiar. The Machloikis is only, says Toysis, two words. The Dvorim Shebetzina Mayri. We're talking about Dvorim Shebetzina, specifically Dvorim Shebetzina, the Gemara is going to talk about later, Tashmish Shemitah, which means marital relations. An Oval is not allowed to go and live with his wife during the entire week of Shiva. The question is there an exception to the rule on Shabbos? And that's what the Machloikis is. Yesh Avedus B'Shabbos, that you have to refrain from Tashmish Shemitah, and the one that holds Ein Avedus B'Shabbos. Shabbos is like Avedus is suspended for all purposes, including for Dvarim Shebetzin. How does Toysis know that? Mirchem will see that in another few lines. The Gemara is going to focus on that. Says he want let us say that this machloikis whether or not yesh avelus b'shabbos or ain avelus b'shabbos. This in fact is a machloikis tanoim, not just a machloikis between those people that live the bnei Yehuda and the bnei Galila. What's the machloikis? Sheitzavay nisha meisay mutal lefanav oichlo b'bayis acher ain lebayis acher oichlo b'bayis chaver. This halacha is number one. We're talking about an onein. Onein means before the nifter has been buried, the meisha meisa nek mutal fana nevach. The meis is still waiting for the chevra kadisha to go and pick up the mess and prepare the shrouds, prepare the tachrichim for purposes of burying. So the meis is still out there, and the person has not been buried. The ovel is sitting together with him in the same room. Now, most of the halachas of this brisa focus, in fact, on an onein who has a shaychus nevach to the person who passed away. The same halacha, however, applies to anyone. In other words, if there's nevach hamesa here in the room, and for instance somebody is sitting as a shomer, or someone just happens to be sitting there together with the mess, unrelated, he's not allowed to go and eat in front of the mess. Why is he not allowed to eat in front of the mess? That's the famous pasuk of the Loyig L'Rosh. Loyig L'Rosh means he's making a mockery of the rush of the person who is poor. There's no greater poorer person than a person who Nebuch has lost his neshama, he's lost his life, the Nebuch he passed away. He's totally impoverished. He can't do anything. He can't do a mitzvah. He can't go to work. He can't even go to a Knicks game. Nebuch, he's dead. Rahman Islam. So if somebody else goes and sits in his presence and eats, the eating itself is a makri, and certainly the making a bracha is a makri. It's as if he's saying, I can make a bracha, you can't make a bracha. Of course, not, we don't, chas v'shalom, subscribe to that individual any sinister or any negative thoughts. But just the fact that he happens to be in the presence of the mess and eating while the other person is never dead, that in itself looks like it's a shameful type of bizoyin, it's a loig l'rosh, a makri. And therefore, oichel b'yisachar, go into another, b'yisachar doesn't have to be another house, you can go into another room, not to be together with the mess. But in b'yisachar, what happens if it's a small apartment, it's a studio, there's no other place to go to, then oichel b'yisachar, you should go to a room in his chaver, you should go to another apartment, somebody else's. In b'yisachar, what happens if there is no b'yisachar? For instance, he has many chaverim, but they're all away on vacation or something, and therefore, there's nowhere else to go. What he should do is he should go and put up a curtain of some sort there in the room and split the room in half, if you will. And therefore, when he eats and makes a brachas, etc., it won't be like the rush because he messes on the other side of the mechitza. What do you have? I don't have a mechitza. I don't have a curtain. And the stores are closed. It's a holiday time. At least go and turn your face in the other direction and not in the direction of the mess. Now, all those halachas apply generically, not just to an onan, to anybody. That's why, for instance, when a person is in a beis hachaim, in a cemetery, they always tell him, make sure your tzitzis are not sticking out, because it's also like the rush. It's as if you're saying to all the mason, I proudly can go and be mekayim the tzitzis, and all of you guys, unfortunately, you no longer have that opportunity. But now we're going back to the onan, and we're saying, the onan mason ba'oichel, the onan, even though avelis, in the traditional sense of sitting shiva has not begun, because avelis only begins after either you say farewell to the aron like we had yesterday, or after he actually sits down shiva on the ground. So ba'ena mesav v'oicho, this onen should not go and sit beheseva like we have on Pesach night, because heseva means to go and sit like a prince, like a king, like nobility. And after all, this person has suffered a major loss. It's almost a bizoyin having a good time, almost like a party, like a Pesach Seder, when Nebuchadnezzar lost someone who passed away. So any mace of oichel, he shouldn't have a seva. And now we're not talking about the same room. We're talking about even a different room. Any mace of oichel, don't have a seva. Ve'ino oichel basa, ve'ino shoyse yayin. He shouldn't have a party atmosphere of eating a piece of meat and drinking wine. He should be a vegan for a few hours. He can eat milchiks. Ve'in mevarech, and he shouldn't make a bracha. Now, an oinin is parted from all of the dinim of mitzvahs, as the Gemara is going to say on the next line, we call mitzvahs amuz v'toyra. So Rashi says, ve'in mevarech is telling you, not only doesn't he have to make a bracha on his own food, but he doesn't have to make a bracha, or he shouldn't make a bracha, l'hoitzi acheira midei chavasan. If he has somebody else in the crowd that says, could somebody please make a bracha on my behalf? I'm not a suffix bracha, I'm not sure, I didn't make it, but he shouldn't make a bracha because he's an onen. Ve'in mezamen, ve'in mevorchen olav, ve'in mezamen an olav. What does all of that mean? What happens if he is in company with two or three or four other people? He is an onen, but they are regulars, if you will. Now they finished eating. Now it comes time for zimun, because there are three men there, including the onen. No. Ein mezamen, he should not be the one that leads the zimun by saying raboisai. Ve'in mevorchen olav, and nobody should go and bench on his behalf and say, oh, you're an oinen, you can't make the benching, you can't say the benching, I'll say the benching out loud and you'll be able to listen. No. He's potter. Ve'in mezamen and olav, they cannot be mitzdarif him lezimun. So if somebody else is there together with him at the table and they want to make zimun, no. It's 2 plus 1, in this case, does not equal 3. If you have three altogether, that's fine, besides the oinen. But if they only have 2 altogether besides the oinen, then you cannot make zimun. Upatami krishma, he's part of from Lady Krishma. Umenatvilim, and from Davini. Umenatvilim, umikol mitzvah, amurz v'toyra, it's across the board, he's part of from everything. They tell all types of probably apocryphal stories about oinenim that flew to Eretz Yisrael, never with a nifter with a body inside the plane, and that the person didn't go to Davin, and he didn't make a bracha, and he didn't say Krishma, and everybody, a goy, huh? They didn't realize that he was an oinein, these are from the Yid, but he's part of from all the mitzvahs, and that's why Taka wasn't davening, and that's why he wasn't learning, and he wasn't doing any mitzvahs, for this very reason, because he's an oinein. However, what happens if a person happens to be an oinein over Shabbos? the Nifter passed away 5 minutes before Lechtzin. They didn't have a chance to go and bury the body. So B'Shabbos, normal. Mesa v'oichel, he can't sit b'seh, but v'oichel b'aseh v'shoi se yayin. U'mevarech, and he makes all the brachas. U'mezamin, u'mevarech, and zamin. Olav, v'chayeh b'kriyishma, u'metvila. What's the next word?
Tvillin.
Tvillin, that's a bit so schwer.
The mayor.
Either according to the mayor, or you'll notice before the word v'chayeh, there is a small asterisk. That asterisk always tells you, look up the Gilyan HaShas of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So we have Rabbi Akiva Eiger here on the right-hand margin. You should probably have it here too. What does Rabbi Akiva Eiger say in V'chai, V'krishma, U'betfilin, U'betfilin, U'bechom mitzvahis? So Gilyan HaShas says, B'brachis, B'braisizu. In other words, this Gemara is also cited in Sefer Brachis. Isa, V'chai, B'chom mitzvahis, Amurus Matayra, stop, doesn't go into Krishma, Tfilin, Tfilin. Yes, B'chom mitzvahis. Uberifsham, it says, Chaye beKriyishma uTfila and Bechol Mitzvah Samuris Matayra, and they left out the word Tfila. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't ask it as a kasha, because as you all said before, maybe it goes according to Maniyama that holds that Shabbos you're Chaye beTfila. Rabbi Akiva Eiger simply says the same braise is brought elsewhere, and there the riff is Goreis without the word Tfila. So if you don't have to go and cross it out, you should know that other Gisois leave it out, so you don't have this issue at all. So he's b'chai b'chol mitzvah, because after all, it's a Shabbos. So this is perfect. Now, Rabbi Gamliel Oimer, mitoshin is chai b'elu, is chai b'kula. Since he's chai in all mitzvahs, he's chai in all mitzvahs. Now I ask you, what is Rabbi Gamliel adding to the Tanakam?
B'chol mitzvahs and Rosh Batorah, right.
We already said b'chol mitzvah, what more can you say? We even added tefillin, which b'chayra you shouldn't have added. Everything. So to believe, you think everything, more than everything, everything plus everything. What's going on? Obviously, this bothered Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Tasha Shemita Ikebenayu. The machlokes between them is Tasha Shemita. What does that mean? So let's look at Rashi on the fifth line. Tasha Shemita Ikebenayu. Hodi Omer Nischai Bekulon Sovar Mutter Betasha Shemita. That Ram Gamliel that said, that he's trying to tell you that the husband is mutter b'tash shemita because he's mutter and he has the chiyuv of all mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs of a husband is to be pokedes ishtoi bizman ona. Ona is considered to be in Shabbos, among others. And so therefore, fine. So he is mutter b'tash shemita and he has that mitzvah of living with his wife. The Tanakama says, no. All the things that I discussed until now were out in the open. But Milah Shibitzina and Oinim should refrain from Tasha Shemit. So therefore, that's the Machlaikis. When it said in the Tanakhama, Chol Mitzvah Mu'ez B'Torah, yes, but parentheses, except for Tasha Shemit, Milah Shibitzina, Lusnish, that you shouldn't do. Rabbi Gamliel said, no, that too. So now, says the Gemara, my love, how did we get involved in all of this? Because we said, Lema Ketanoi. It's my love, welcome Ifligi. Let us say that the machlokes between the Tanakama that says, do not engage in Tasha Shemita. And the Gamliel that says that you can, the Marsava Yesha Velas Bishabbos and Marsava Eina Velas Bishabbos. Who holds what? Continuing the next Rashi. Mar di Osir Betash Mish. That is the Tanakama, because he said, only the mitzvah Shebegoli, not the mitzvah Shebetzina. There is a veil of Shabbos. What is the veil of Shabbos? Not anything else. He goes to shul and he makes brachas and he makes kiddush and he eats a batzer b'yayin and he has seiva and mizam. Everything is mechuyav and krishma and tefillah. Everything. Alles. Kol mitzvah b'Torah. But one thing that he doesn't do, and that is tashu shemita, because that's the varnish of b'tzinah. That's the toises on top. That's the yesh veil of Shabbos. Umar d'shori. Umar d'shori means Ram Gamliel. That says, even Dvar Shabbatina Mutter, says Rashi, Mar Deshori, Sova Kishmul, the Omer, Ein Avedus B'Shabbos, there is no Avedus B'Shabbos, and therefore, even Tasha Shemita is Mutter. My love, Hakimifli, back to our Gemara, Mar Sova Yesh Avedus B'Shabbos, Mar Sova Ein Avedus B'Shabbos. And therefore, Leiv Ketanoi L'Choira, the Machloik is between the B'nai Glila and the B'nai Yehuda, is directly on point, the Machloik is on these two Tanoim. And the Gemara is going to say, it was a good try, but it's not conclusive. And the answer is very simple, because until now we're talking about Avelus, and here we're talking about Aninus. And never the twain shall meet. If you're an Oinin, you're not an Oval. If you're an Oval, you're not an Oinin. And therefore the Gemara at least speculates that there might be a difference. In other words, it could be that it's the same machlokes, but it could be that it's not totally one on the other at all. So if you want to be my three lines from the back. You know why the Tanakhama said over there that you're not allowed to go and engage in Tasha Shamita in relations. After all, the mess hasn't even been buried yet. It's a real mess. And he's an oine, and therefore don't engage. But you're talking about an Avelis, that's already, if you will, a little bit lighter. Baruch Hashem, the mess has been buried, and now the Avelim are sitting Shiva, but at least they don't have on their heads the inyan of the mess with all the sorrow that had the mess just passed away 3 hours ago, 20 hours ago, whatever, all of those things. So Alpha, the Ein Mesa with the fun of life. Maybe you would hold that an Ovel is allowed to go and engage with Tasha Shemitah on Shabbos with his wife. The outcome coming of Liel Hossam, that it's mutter that katali chalav ivisalei, because he didn't become a full fledged Ovel. An Ovel is also betasha shemita, as nishkan Ovel, as an oile. Avlochad the chalav ivisalei, hochanami, maybe you would hold that Avelis is more chomer than Aninus. So you can say svaris, lekan u lekan, whether Aninus is more somber and more sorrowful and more full of pain, and therefore one should refrain from tasha shemita, or you can go and talk about Avelis. Avelis has a special halachic framework that an Ovel is not allowed to do Malach, and he's not allowed to do Rechitza, and he's not allowed to do Sicha, and he's not allowed to do Nilas Asantel, he's not allowed to do Tasha Shemita. And so therefore, maybe that applies on Shabbos, even though by Oyin Nisht, maybe Ovel Yom. So Lamaisa, we don't have a raya one way or the other. We'll just learn another couple of lines. Boy Menei Rav Yoichanan Mishmuel, Yesh Avelis V'Shabbos, Ein Avelis V'Shabbos, Amalei, Ein Avelis B'Shabbos. Shabbos is not Noik Avelis, even Dvorim Shebitzina. It's not surprising that Shmuel holds that way, because as you remember, Rabbi Shmuel has already said three or four times, when it comes to Avelis. We'll stop over here. The after my bacon, my sham, my lekechem, chayim, kochem, ayoy.
Rabbi Yochanan Mishmuel, that's very unusual. Shmuel, I mean, was there Yisrael originally, and then he went to Bavel.